We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, the book of Judges, the 16th chapter, and we'll look at this chapter together tonight. Samson's life is really a sermon to Israel. Not just to Israel, of course, but also a sermon to us. He began well. He had a very privileged background. Godly parents. Surrounded by prayers. He was a Nazarite from the womb. Well instructed. Blessed on every side. But then when he grew up, he let the lust of the flesh destroy him. Instead of walking in the ways of God, time and time again he went astray. God revealed himself to him. God blessed him. God's spirit came upon him mightily. He saw miracles happening. And yet, Samson sinned against God. The very first words that Samson spoke were, "I saw a woman." And then he saw another woman. And then he saw another woman. And then he lost his eyes. Israel. Israel called out of Egypt. God set his love upon them, delivered them from their bondage, looked after them in the wilderness, settled them in the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey, blessed them abundantly. And yet, they saw a woman. They saw an idol. They committed adultery from Jehovah, the God of Israel, and went astray after Baal. And God sent troubles to them to warn them. The Canaanites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Philistines. But alas, they never seemed to learn till at last they were carried away captive to Babylon. And in Babylon they cried to the Lord, and they were brought back. God brought them back and settled them again. And God sent to them his own son to be their savior. And they rejected him and crucified him. And so God, as it were, put out their eyes and subjected them to blindness for 2,000 years. May they now cry out to God. How wonderful it would be if, in their blindness, they would call upon the name of the Lord and be delivered. How sad to think of the Israelites trying to protect in their eyes Jerusalem and the temple and their way of life and their traditions, destroyed by the Romans. Sold as slaves, scattered throughout the world, mocked, derided, despised, subjected to anti-Semitism. Oh, that the Lord would take the scales from off their eyes, that they might behold the Messiah. So, Samson is a sermon to the Israelites. And a sermon to us too, calling upon us, lest we too should allow the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to destroy us. How sad it is when you see those who start off well falling by the wayside. Just this past week I was reading about Rabbi Zacharias. Rabbi Zacharias died in May. He was an Indian, brought up in the Catholic faith, became an atheist, and then professed conversion, went to America, and he set up a great organization. And he was a great apologist, a defender of the Christian faith, wrote more than 30 books. When he died in May, there were many glowing tributes about him. And now, just recently, it's come out that he was involved in immorality, sordid immorality in massage parlors with young girls. How sad. Was he ever converted? If he was converted, was he not like Samson? Does he not show up the Christian faith by being a hypocrite? Does it not undermine all his message, his teaching? What's the greatest apology for the Christian faith, the greatest defense of the Christian faith? Is it not the new birth and holy lives and committed Christians? And what's the greatest disgrace of Christianity but hypocrisy? Saying one thing and doing another. Sadly, there are too many like Rabbi Zacharias. Too many well-known, prominent leaders of the churches who have wallowed in filth and brought disgrace upon Christ and his cause. Followed Samson in his wicked ways rather than learning from Samson and his sermon to Israel and to us. Well, first of all, tonight we see Samson and the harlot. Samson went down to Gaza and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. How sad. Samson we have spoken of as a type of Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ associated with harlots and sinners, didn't he? They said of him, he's a friend of sinners. But oh, in such a different way from Samson. Yes, he made friends with harlots and sinners, but not to indulge in filthiness and lust, but in order to save them, to transform them, to deliver them, to make them into new women, washing away their sins and giving them a new life. Our Savior, so different from Samson. Samson sins. He sees this woman. He goes in unto her. You would have thought that he would have learned from his first involvement with a Philistine woman. But no. The lust of the flesh is very strong. It's sad when you see a man of God allowing himself to be ruled by the flesh. What about you? Is there any immorality in your life? Are you yielding to some horrid temptation? Sadly, in our day, marriage is treated very lightly. So many people, they don't bother to get married. They just try this relationship, try that one. Maybe then after a number of years they get married, and if they find some difficulty comes along, then they break the marriage and move on to somebody else. Marriage has been despised. Now marriage is meant to be for our good. It's something God gave us, a creation ordinance. And it is a blessed ordinance when properly used. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God will judge. Yes, things seem to have got to a worse state in our day than in the past. In some ways, things haven't changed. Human nature hasn't changed. Of course, there was adultery in the past, and there were harlots in the past, just as there are today. But today, there's a kind of pride in these things, a pride in immorality, a pride in homosexualism and lesbianism and all kinds of perversion. And they go round marching, parading, proclaiming their immorality. And today there's pornography so readily available. In the past, pornography was difficult to obtain. It was something that was on the top shelves in newsagents' shops. And a bit of a disgrace to be for anyone to be seen taking it. But nowadays, it enters the home through the internet, so readily available. And pornography is just another way of going to the harlot. And sadly, secretly available. From time to time, I hear of Christians in good standing, and they get tempted, and they get enticed, and they start following pornography. It becomes addictive, and it is very destructive. Even occasional pornography is, of course, a terrible sin, but the more it's indulged, the more weak a person becomes. One should feel guilt and sorrow and shame in indulging in these things at all. Destroys lives, destroys marriages, destroys a person's relationship with God. And it's something that comes from the pit of hell. Satan is always out to seek, to trap, and to destroy. Remember, it starts with the first click. The first click. And it pollutes and destroys. Beware. Samson and the harlot. Don't be like Samson. Avoid. Flee from fornication. Be pure. Be holy. Be a chaste virgin for Christ, as it were. Secondly, Samson's warning and escape. The Gazites, verse 2, were told, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in. They gathered together. They gathered an army round. And they laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And they were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's daylight, we'll kill him. Well, that was a warning to Samson. He should have learned from it. But sadly, he didn't. In God's providence, God in his mercy delivered him. Delivered him once, delivered him twice. But the third time, the chastisement came heavy upon him. Very painful. Samson wakes up at midnight, must have realized there was something going on. He gets up. It would seem that the rest are sleeping, thinking that they've got him in their power. He gets up and he goes to the gate of the city. He sees the gates locked and barred. No problem to Samson. With God's help, he pulls the gates off their hinges, pulls the bars out of the ground, the gate posts and all, and hoist them up on his shoulder, and with his supernatural strength, carries off the gates of Gaza to a hill near Hebron, deposits them there. Amazing strength, but it wasn't that Samson was a big fellow, or that he had any special strength of his own. Just an ordinary man. But the strength was power that he got from God. The Lord's Spirit came upon him, and the Lord protected him once more. Once more. How many times has the Lord protected you? Watch out for sin, and do not continue in sin. Repent of it as soon as you can. Flee from it, because sin destroys. Destroys you, destroys your faith, destroys your reputation, and brings shame upon Christ. It was a warning. Be sure your sins will find you out, the proverb says. He was warned by God. Now, thirdly, we move on to Samson's last affair. Sin always has a tendency to get worse. And of course, if we persist in sin, God's correction of his people, God's chastisement, becomes more powerful and more painful. Sin is addictive. Who sets out to be an alcoholic? What young person wants to be a drug addict? None of them. But yet they start. And they think, I'm strong enough. I can resist. I can go so far and stop. And then you look and you see them beaten by sin, beaten by addiction, their lives destroyed, their hollow, pale faces, their poverty and their misery. Sin is addictive. Every sin is addictive. Drinking, drugs, immorality too. God was very merciful to Samson in delivering him when he got involved with a woman at Timnah, delivering him also when he got involved with the prostitute in Gaza. But then we're told along comes Samson and sees this woman in the valley of Sorek, Delilah. The only one whose name we're given. Delilah. It's a Jewish name, an Israelite name. Didn't realize this before, but she might not have been a Philistine. But she was quite happy to involve herself with the Philistines. Quite happy for money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Covetousness. A common sin. And a very destructive one. Delilah, perhaps she was a Philistine. Maybe she was half Israelite and half Philistine, because some Israelites married Philistines. Maybe she was an Israelite. Makes no difference, really. At the end of the day, she was prepared to sell her lover for money. Samson is not seeking guidance of God. He's not seeking direction from the Lord as to who he should marry, who he should get involved with. He just follows the lusts of his own flesh. And he's not at this point just a young man. We're told that he judged Israel for 20 years. And this must be towards the end of his life. So, we can imagine that he's a fellow, possibly in his early 40s by this stage. You don't have to be young in order to get involved in immorality and sin. We were told when Samson in chapter 14, we were told about Samson when he went down to Timnah and he got involved with a woman in Timnah. Verse 4, chapter 14, verse 4, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he got involved with a Timnite, that he sought occasion, an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. It was of the Lord that he got involved with a Timnite. And it was of the Lord that he got involved with a prostitute. And it was of the Lord that he got involved with Delilah. Why? Because it was God's secret plan, stirring up his resentment towards the Philistines. The Israelites at this time had accepted the Philistines as their overlords to rule over them. But God's people weren't supposed to be ruled over by the heathen. They were to keep themselves apart from the heathen. So it was of the Lord in that sense. Not in the sense that it was a good thing. The Lord's revealed will was, you're not to marry or get involved with heathen women. But it was God's secret plan. Because God's secret plan involves everything. And God's working out all things for good. For the glory of his name. And for the blessing of his people. So in that sense, his involvement with Delilah was also of the Lord. Although it was very wrong on his part. And we see that this woman is paid to betray him. We're told that the five lords of the Philistines came to Delilah and made her an offer. We will each one of you give more than 1,000 pieces of silver. In fact, 1,100 pieces of silver each. So that amounts, the five lords of the Philistines, to 5,500 pieces of silver. One of the commentators calculated that that would be 150 pounds of silver, or 68 kilograms of silver. I made a quick calculation this afternoon. How much would that be worth today? At today's prices, 45,000 pounds. We think of Judas. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Delilah sells Samson for 5,500 pieces of silver. They were obviously desperate. Not so much to kill Samson, but to find out the secret, to get control over him. To get their great god Dagon one up on the God of Israel. They were hoping that they could find the secret in order that they might bind Samson to torment him and to gloat over him and to praise Dagon, their god. And so we next notice Delilah's tempting him. She was enticed by money. And she was prepared to sell Samson for that prize. So she says to him, tell me. Wherein your great strength lies. What is the secret? What's What is it that gives you this special strength? Because they knew that he wasn't a giant. It wasn't a natural strength he had. It was obviously supernatural that came upon him from time to time. So she asks him, what's the secret? And at first he toys with her. And he says, if they bind me with green withes, that is, with bowstrings made from sinews, from animal sinews that haven't been dried. So the lords of the Philistines bring her 7 green withes, which had not been dried. She bound them therewith. And she had men lying in the chamber, lying in wait, hiding. She said, the Philistines are upon me, Samson. And he brake the withes as if they had been a thread touched with a flame. And so she comes to him again and she says, thou hast mocked me. You're making a fool of me. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes, then I shall be weak as another man. New ropes. So she takes new ropes and she binds them therewith and says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he breaks the ropes of his arm like a thread. You would think he would learn from this, wouldn't you? You'd think he'd take it to heart. Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And now he begins to get a little bit closer to it. If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web, and she fastened it with a pin, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. He wakes out of his sleep, he takes the pin and the beam, the web, he takes the loom, everything, and he carries it away. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? She uses all her feminine charm and deceitfulness. Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Ah, Israel, is that not the case? Time and time again you are warned. Time and time again you feel the might of the Canaanites and the might of the Moabites and the might of the Ammonites and the might of the Philistines. And you do not learn. You see that when you worship Baal, things go wrong, and the Lord is angry with you, and trouble comes your way, but you will not learn. Oh, Israel, why will you not learn? Why will you not take it to heart? Why will you not take it to heart? When you sin, and God's judgment and chastisement comes upon you, and God's troubles come your way. It seems so strange to us that Samson can be so foolish. And yet, how foolish it is to play with sin. And how addictive sin is. And how easily you and I are tempted. How difficult it is for us to argue with Satan. He can put on every feminine charm or whatever other kind of charm he wishes in order to deceive us, to argue with us, to trap us. How careful we have to be. How we must watch and pray, lest we enter into temptation. How we must put on the whole armor of God in order to resist the devil. Realize that we are in warfare. Realize that the enemy is seeking to destroy our soul. And it's only by standing fast and fighting the good fight of faith, putting on the whole armour of God, that we will get the victory. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. There has not come a razor upon mine head. I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like another man. And she knows she's got the truth out of him at last. She tells the lords of the Philistines, and they come with their 1,100 pieces of silver, each one of them in their hands. And she gets him to sleep on her knees. And she calls the barber to shave him. Samson tells her all. And then she says to him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep. This is one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. "I will go out and shake myself as at other times." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't realize that the Lord had left him. Remember Saul, how the Spirit of the Lord left him and an evil spirit came upon him. Remember David when he sinned, how he prayed, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of thy salvation." David knew what an awful thing it was when the Spirit left Saul. And he pleaded that in his sin, the Spirit would not leave him. And here we find Samson, and the Spirit has left him, and he's in such a low spiritual condition that he doesn't realize it. He thinks, "I'll go out, I'll shake myself as at other times." And the Philistines come, and they take him, and they gouge out his eyes. And they bring him down to Gaza, and they bind him with fetters, and they get him to grind in the prison house. Grinding meal, doing a woman's work with a little hand grinder. Day after day, grinding meal in the prison. "We've changed you into a woman. We've brought you down. We've conquered you. Dagon is greater than Jehovah." What a disgrace he has brought upon God and upon Israel and upon himself. Samson tells her all, and he ends up in the prison house, grinding meal. It's a sad story. Tragic. How would you feel if your eyes were taken out? You couldn't see. The Philistines thought, "Well, if he put his eyes out, he'll never do us harm again." "These eyes with which he lusted after women, they were put out." You know, Jesus says something quite interesting in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life having one eye than to be cast into hell having both your eyes." Well, here's Samson. And he lost both his eyes. but losing both his eyes was him starting to see properly for the first time. Yes, it would be better for us to lose our eyes and get to heaven than having both eyes to be cast into hell. Samson's repentance. Only when he loses his eyes does he really start to see. We think of Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach against Nineveh. And he didn't want to do it. And he set off for Tarshish. And God sent a storm. But Jonah didn't pray. And eventually he was thrown into the sea. And still Jonah didn't pray. Then he was swallowed by a whale. And in the stomach of the whale, then he began to pray. How much it took for him to pray. And you on the road of backsliding, what will it take to make you really pray and call upon the Lord? Samson, he lost his eyes. And then in the prison house, the proud man is humbled. And there he begins to think and to turn and to reflect on the foolishness, the stupidity, the backsliding, the immorality of his life. We're told then that the Philistines thought that they would like to have a great festival in honor of their god Dagon. Dagon, who had delivered them from their enemy that killed many of them. And so they gathered together in the temple of Dagon, we're told. The five lords of the Philistines were there. Thousands of Philistines, all the prominent Philistines gathered together. There were 3,000 on the roof. 3,000 on the roof. How many more thousands inside? And they said, let's call for Samson, so that we'll make fun of him, make sport of him. Remember how Samson was a type of Christ. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ in the palace of Caiaphas, mocked by the Jews, and ridiculed and blindfolded and buffeted. We think of him mocked by Herod and by Pilate and by the Roman soldiers. We see him with the crown of thorns upon his head and the purple robe and the reed for a scepter in his hand. Spitting in his face. Samson here made a scorn and a laughter and a mockery. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, how foolish it was of the Philistines to say that their God, verse 24, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy. Our God. Here they are praising their God. The house was full of men and women, all the lords of the Philistines. And they call for Samson. And they're going to rejoice in their God over Samson. And over the Lord God of Israel. And we're told that Samson called upon the Lord. In that sad situation he prayed. And he prayed a prayer of faith. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. It's wonderful how the Lord hears even this backslidden man. This man who had done so much wrong and brought so much shame upon God and his cause. And yet, the Lord hears his prayer. What an encouragement that is for us not to despair, but to pray and call upon the name of the Lord, whatever our situation. Remember me, I pray thee, this once, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two pillars on which the house stood, on which they were borne up, and Samson said to the Lord, let me die with the Philistines. There was one good thing about Samson. He knew who the enemy was. He knew the enemy was the Philistines. He wasn't slaying the Israelites, but the enemies of God's people. Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords of the Philistines, and upon all the people therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Many thousands of Philistines, of the leading Philistines, were destroyed. Vengeance upon these idolaters, these enemies of God's people. Samson was the one who would begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. God raised him up for this purpose, that he might begin to deliver Israel. He pulls down the house upon them. And we think of Samson as a type of Christ, and how Christ, by his death, destroyed his enemies. We think of Satan and all the hordes of hell gathered round the cross, and all the wicked of the Jews gathered round, and the Romans, the world gathered round, and the Lord Jesus Christ wrestles with the champion of the power of darkness, who through death destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Christ destroyed the devil, destroyed the kingdom of Satan, destroyed in a sense death and the grave for his people. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ victorious over the enemy. And Samson here, a type of Christ pointing forward to the one who would destroy through his death on the cross all his enemies and deliver his people, the great Saviour. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took and brought him up and buried him between Sora and Eshtaol. He had judged Israel 20 years. A tragic life. So sad to see a man led away by the lust of the eyes. And yet, how wonderful at the end of his day to see the Lord hearing his prayers. Where's Samson today? He's not with the Philistines in hell, but he's with the Lord Jesus in heaven, and he's got his eyes back. Yes, he's got his eyes back. How wonderful. How wonderful for the Lord's people. They may go astray, they may fall terribly, but all those who are saved by the grace of God, all those who are born again, all those who are united to Christ, though they fall, yes, they will be chastised for it, but they will eternally be saved. Blessed are all those who put their faith in Christ, trust in the Lord, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith in him as your Saviour, and you'll never perish. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank Thee for this great sermon that Samson preaches to us. May we take his life and may we learn from it. And may we in that way flee from fornication, flee from uncleanness, flee from sin of every kind, and walk humbly with our God, walk in the pathways of obedience. What misery sin brings into our lives, what sadness and what disgrace. The devil promises us a wonderful future, an enjoyable experience, but it's empty and it's sham and it pretense and it's destruction. We saw it, O Lord, in the Garden of Eden, when Eve and Adam ate the forbidden fruit, thinking it would lead to a wonderful experience. And they opened their eyes, and they felt their shame and their nakedness. And they ran away and hid from God. And mankind has ever since been running away and hiding from God. Oh Lord, our God, help us to learn. To learn that Satan is no friend. And that his promises destroy. Pardon us our sins, for Jesus' sake.